Hey guys, listen up. If your idea of skincare is rinsing your face with whatever's left from your shampoo, it really is time to upgrade. I want to tell you about the new men's line from Arrow Acres. It's made for guys who want real results without all the extra ingredients. Their products are clean, simple, and incredibly effective. From tallow balm that actually heals dry skin to hand-poured soaps that leave you smelling fresh and not floral. If you need a bug spray that works and doesn't leave you smelling like chemicals as well, they've got that. They've got lip balm and scrubs that are simple, no nonsense, and they're made with real ingredients that your skin actually wants. So if you're chopping wood, hitting the gym, or if you just want to stop stealing your wife's moisturizer and not telling anybody about it, well then they have your back. You can check out their full men's line by following the link in the show notes or on Instagram at Arrow Acres Homestead. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hey guys, welcome back. All right, today we're going to be talking about Proverbs chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 22. Here's what it says. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. We're going to focus on the first part of that proverb, how a good man can leave an inheritance to his children's children with the income that he already has. It can be a challenging or a daunting task, but I think every man listening in, every young boy, young man listening in, would want to do something that would be good for his children's children. Now, first, we want to set a spiritual example, and we want there to be a spiritual inheritance. That's the primary thing that we want to leave for our children and grandchildren, is to be a godly man. But a part of being a godly man is to be wise with that which God has entrusted to you, and to build on that, whatever God has entrusted to you. So it's good, not just a spiritual inheritance, but there's also a physical, tangible inheritance that we're leaving for our children's children. And if you don't have a lot of income, if you don't have a lot of wealth already, if that hasn't something that's been handed down to you, and you've had to build and work and all of those things that come with the working with the sweat of your brow, it can be somewhat challenging to think about how to leave an inheritance to your children's children. I want to talk to you about a very practical way to do that, that is a way to do this, but it's really for you. And I think a way that is a pretty sure-proof plan to help your children be, by the time they're 65, millionaires, with a very small investment up front and along the way through the years of your life that God would give you. So let's go ahead and pray, ask the Lord's help. And I want to dive into something that Dave Ramsey said. We're going to look at a couple verses, this verse, but we're going to look at one in 2 Corinthians as well. But let's pray and ask the Lord's help, and then we'll get into it. Father, we just thank you for this time. Ask for blessing upon this discussion. Lord, help us to be wise with what you have entrusted to us. It is such a critical thing to walk in wisdom. He who is faithful in little will be faithful with much. Whatever you put in our hands, give me neither poverty nor riches. Whatever you do give us into our hands, God, help us to be wise with it. Invest well, save well, give well, and trust you with the results. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Let's look at it again. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Let me just ask you, do you want to be a good man? I know I do. I think any young boy should want to grow into being a good man. That starts obviously with submission to Christ, following him. If you love me, you obey me. Jesus says we want to be that. But we also want to leave an inheritance, a fully orbed inheritance to our children and then to our grandchildren. Then if we flip over to 2 Corinthians, a verse that caught me a few years ago that I think is significant for us to consider as we are being parents and thinking about our children and again, whatever years that God would give us, consider this verse. For children are not responsible to save for their parents. We know the commandment, honor your father and mother, that may go well with you and you may live long in the land. It's the first commandment with a promise. We understand that, and that's good. Children are always obligated to honor their parents. They're to provide for them in ways that their parents may not be able to provide for themselves. If they've not been wise with money, a child has obligation to his parents, certainly. But in the context of spiritual fatherhood here, Paul pulls out a very practical and natural point when he says this, but parents for their children. Now, let me just read it together. For children are not responsible to save for their parents, but parents for their children. Let me pull in something that John Gill comments about this verse. Okay? Here's what he says in this verse. Not that children ought to not take care of and provide for their aged and aging parents, and churches ought to maintain their faithful ministers, but the apostle argues from a common fact with nature and affection directed unto, and have formed into sort of a law, that parents not only care for their children, but bring them up, and listen to this, they provide food for them and clothing, but as they are blessed by providence, and we could also say that blessing by providence comes through practical wisdom with what God has already given you. So are you making more with what God has given you, or are you burying your talents in the ground? Are you investing? Are you saving? Are you building with your children and grandchildren in mind, not just for your own sake, not just for what you can build for yourself, but for the future, for what God has given you? Okay? Here's what he says. And that providence, blessed by providence, lay up treasures for them for time to come, and not for children and their parents, children for their parents. This is neither unusual or necessary, however, as the case may be. Children may be obliged yet not to lay up, yet to maintain their parents when they grow old and in want, yet not to lay up substance for them in their future. It's not the responsibility for the parents or the children to be thinking about how to build the wealth of the parents. Their responsibility is thinking about how can I bless or save for my children. That's the obligation of every single Christian parent. And it's natural. It's about natural affection. It's about love. It's about taking care of as providence would allow you to do more and more for your children and grandchildren. You want to set them up. You don't want to make things more difficult. You don't want to put roadblocks in the way of the success of your children and grandchildren. They certainly need challenge. We certainly need to build them up. We don't need them to be soft. We don't need them to be weak. We need them to be strong. We want that for them. But we don't do what Jackie Chan did, where he says, I'm not leaving anything for my children. I've given it all away. I had to learn the hard way. I had to make my own way. They're going to have to make their own way. That is sad, and it is sinful, and it should be completely anathematized by Christians everywhere. We want to save for our children, build for our children, help our children. And with those principles established, okay, it is very biblical to want to be a good man, and it's very biblical to save for your children. It's just according to natural law, and then explicitly in what God has given us here in our text, the responsibility of parents to save for their children. That's what we are to do. Save up to build. The question that haunted me for a long time is to how to do that. Do I do that by way of real estate? I don't have a lot of money. I've never met a man of a lot of natural wealth. God has blessed us. You've heard that over the years, how God has come through for my family, for Jordan and I, time and time again, stories of God's providence in our lives, of providing for us financially or providing for us in other ways that end up letting us live very, very well. But how do I practically provide for my children and my children's children? How am I going to be a good man as a pastor, as somebody who can't pursue wealth in the same way many others can pursue wealth? I can't just jump ship to the next highest paying job. I can't do that. I'm a pastor. And if I want to maintain my integrity before God and people, I'm not going to just look for the highest paying salary in pastoral ministry. That's not what I'm going to do. I've had opportunities in the past to jump to or pursue ministry that would be bigger or would be a bigger salary, but I'm not going to do that. I love where God's put me and placed me. So how do I practically? Am I exempt from being a good man? No, I have to model it. So how do I do that? Can I get land, property, houses? Those are things that I've thought about in the past. How do I turn rentals into houses for my children, blessings for my children and grandchildren? Well, it's very difficult to think through that on the salary of a pastor. So practically, how do I do that? Okay, this is very, you guys have heard me talk about Dave Ramsey before, and people immediately would go, well, Dave Ramsey, that's just like boomer wealth building kind of thing. Okay, boomer when it comes to Dave Ramsey. However, if you just throw Dave Ramsey out, without considering some of his principles. This is a book that I read this year. I mentioned that Total Money Makeover. I didn't realize that we basically had been living like Dave Ramsey had called us to live for the last 15 years of marriage. I didn't grow up thinking about finances very much at all. I was just in one hand, out the other. It was gone, not invested, not saved. A savings account of zero or a checking account of who knows what was in it. Made a lot of money, spent a lot of money. That's how I grew up. Here's what Dave Ramsey says, and this really changed things for me to think through. Wait a minute, I've already got what it takes to be a good man. God is already providing me with the resources to leave an inheritance to my children's children. How, you might ask? How can I do that? How can you do that? Well, this book talks about gaining control of your life. Wealth building is not primarily about just getting more money, but it's about getting control. It's 80%, Dave Ramsey says, it's 80% about controlling your life, your expenses, the way you live, your lifestyle. Are you willing to live like no one else now so you can live like no one else later? But this line is what's been sticking with me. This is what I want to challenge you with, to think through. Regardless if you're already investing, you're already doing all these things with finances or real estate or whatever it may be that you might be doing. Some of you are so far beyond me when it comes to understanding investing and finances. And you're already multimillionaires and you already have a plan for your children. I get that. That's where you're at. But most of us that are listening in, most of the young boys, young men that may be listening in, they're not there. So how do they think through that? Most of the average run-of-the-mill 25-year-old man who's got a couple kids, a 35-year-old man who's got three or four kids, 45-year-old man who's got some kids that are now in high school, what do you do? Where do you start? Well, here's a great way. What you need is right in front of you. God has already put it in your hands. Here's what he says. I believe with everything in me that your most powerful wealth-building tool is... what? Question mark, question mark, question mark. What is it? Your current income. Ideas, strategies, goals, visions, focus, and even creative thinking are vastly important. But until you get control and full use of your income to build wealth, you will not build and keep wealth. Let me just read that again because I think it's poignant. I think it's so incredibly helpful. But until you get control of the full use of your current income to build wealth, you will not build and keep it. Some of you might inherit money or win a jackpot, but that's dumb luck, not a proven plan of financial success. To build wealth, you will have to begin and you will have to regain control of your income. Ramsey is saying you have the ability right now within your income. If you'll control your life, if you'll get that wisdom, if you will get some self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit, obviously, then what you currently have can build wealth for you. If you'll just get control of your lifestyle, of your saving, of your investing, of your putting back into your Roth, those sorts of things. Okay, so here's what started to happen in me as I started thinking through this. All right, I started running some numbers on Google AI and on chat, GPT or CPT. I forget which one it is. Okay, started running some numbers. And I asked, if I start at 15 years old and I invest $100 a month for the rest of until 65, from 15 to 65, and based on a 10% return. So let's just say it's a 10%. Okay, that's great. You know, probably will be more like 8, but let's just say it's 10. What will that be at 65? If I continue to contribute $1,200 a year with nothing else, just $1,200 a year until 65, it ends up being over $1.5 million. $1.5 million. So I started running the numbers and thinking through this, like, okay, well, what if when my children are 15 years old and I start with each of my children at 15 years old, what if I do some sort of match program? Most of you in your retirements or even in pastoral ministry, there's some sort of match. Our church matches 3% of everything I put back. So I got 6% going back. What could I do for my children? Thinking through a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But thinking through how to do that with my current wealth, if Dave Ramsey is right, that the biggest wealth building tool that you currently have, that you will ever have, is a self-controlled life with your current income, whatever it is. What if I ask my children and say, will you match? I will match anything you give up to $50 a month. You can give more later on. You can invest more and you can save more and you can put back more. But if you will put $50 a month, I will match it. I have four children. So that would be $200 a month is all it would take for me. For the rest of my life, how many years God gives me, that means I would be putting in until they're 65 years old. Lord willing, I get to live to see all of them to be 65. That would mean I would have to be 95 years old when I die if they're all 65. Okay. That means for $50 a month per child, four children, $200 a month, by the time they're 65, they're all millionaires. All having over $1.5 million. Now, let's just say, well, the return's only 8%. Okay, well, then let's just say that drops down and it's only $1.1 million or something like that. Well, if they're contributing more, $100 a month, $200 a month, that still leaves, that means based on just that $200 a month, I am going to, with what God has already given me, be able to leave them with a retirement account of over $1.5 million. Now, what's it going to be with inflation? You know, when they're 65, that may only be like $500,000 in today's money, something like that. Well, still, I'm leaving an inheritance to my children's children, because what is that going to be, and what is that going to do for my grandchildren, the children that my children raise? Well, that's going to be an inheritance for them. They're going to be able to do something with that, because that's only one of their retirement. They're going to have other sorts of retirement. I'm going to be training them that, investment accounts and all of that. All of my children already have an investment accounts. Thank you, Tyler Ramsey, for helping me with that. Unrelated to Dave, not Dave's son or anything, spelled differently too. But this is, for me, what I've determined to be, for my wife and I, the best way with our current income for us. Not real estate. I would love to be able to get them some land one day. I'd love to be able to leave them land, but I'm going to leave them with a personal inheritance that I'm going to have, that I'm building, personal wealth that I'm building with my current income, and on not a whole lot of money, but as I'm putting back, and as that builds over the years, I've got 24 more years until my formal retirement age. Then in their own accounts, and then what Jordan and I get to leave to them is going to be a blessing to my children's children. And that's with the current income I have. Now, this isn't the only way, but this is, I think, a very practical way for you out there. Let's say you're only making $60,000 a year. You're only making $80,000 a year, which I say only. That's only, you know, I think $100,000 a year today's money right now is only like in the year 2000, only like 60-something thousand a year or 50-something thousand dollars a year back then. So let's just say you're only making $75,000 a year right now. Well, you can do $50 a month per child. You have the ability to do that. Get control. Control yourself. Have self-control. Live like no one else now. You can live like no one else later. But also, you can help your children live like no one else now so they can live like no one else later. If you're willing to wait, if you're willing to put in the work, if you're willing to sit through the sweat of your brow, say, I'm going to give $200 a month in my case. In your case, it might be $100 a month. It might be $600 a month, depending on how many children you have. Then you get to, very practically, leave an inheritance to your children's children, because parents are obligated to save for their children. Children are not obligated. They're obligated to honor their parents, but they're not obligated to save for their children. We are obligated to save for our children. So if we'll use biblical wisdom, if we'll get control of our life, we can very practically leave that inheritance and be the good man that God has called us to be. We can set the example. If you're in pastoral ministry, set the example for your church. You don't have to announce to everybody numbers or anything like that, but do something. Be wise. Invest. Money is not the enemy. The love of money is the enemy. If you love money, you will use God to get it. But if you love God, you will use money in a practical way through self-control, and you will build and invest and see the fruit of your labor and wisdom with the Lord's help, with the Lord's blessing. I'm excited. I hope you are too. All right. Thanks so much for listening. Pass this along. Share this. Thanks for continuing to come back. Love you guys.